Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But as Jesus came and touched them, "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray together. O God, who leads us to the mountaintop time and time again, may this next time be the one when we are reshaped inside out, glowing with your glory. We thank you that you never forget us or leave us alone, but come again and again with this spectacular possibility, a people remade, led from the shadows to stand in the streaming light of heaven. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. So as you know, together we have walked through psalm after psalm, hymn after hymn, poem after poem, as we acknowledge the promises that continue to ground and nurture us in our faith. And we are reminded of the blessings of our God. These blessings, these promises of God have led us right into the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew leading us into this Transfiguration Sunday. Our new year, same promises journey has ended. And this morning, we begin our transition into Lent. We are invited to witness the one who teaches with God's authority. We are invited to witness the one who was foretold by the prophets. We are invited to witness the one who has gathered us together as we sit and worship in expectation, because he beckons us into this divine manifestation. As I was preparing for today, I am reminded of a story told of a magician. He was working on a cruise ship in the Caribbean, and he performed the same magic tricks over and over again because the audience was different every week. But since the audience was different, he never bothered to learn any new tricks. There was only one problem: the captain's parrot. He saw the show every week and began to learn what the magician did in every trick. Once the parrot understood, he would begin shouting in the middle of the show, "Look, it's not the same hat. Look, he's hiding the flowers under the table. Hey, why are all the cards the ace of spades?" The magician was furious. But because it was the captain's parrot, he couldn't do anything about it. One day, the ship was in this terrible accident and unfortunately sank within minutes. The magician found himself clinging to a piece of wood in the middle of the ocean. And of course, the parrot was right by his side. They stared at each other with disdain, but neither uttered a word. This went on for several days. And after a week, the parrot finally said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" Like the parrot, throughout our lives, we may find ourselves drawn to a little bit of mystery. And our text this morning does not disappoint. There is no other narrative between the birth of Christ and the resurrection quite like this one. Whether we want to admit it or not, this passage may seem a little hard to swallow, even for those of us who are open to something that is a bit more difficult or even impossible to explain. See, typically, Jesus, his mystery, his character is veiled. This narrative briefly lifts away this veil, and the glory of God is directly witnessed by his disciples. I have to admit, this passage is full of possibilities. It would be easy for us to focus on Peter, James, and John, who are traditionally referred to as the inner circle of the disciples. It would be easy to talk about how they witnessed this wondrous transfiguration of Jesus. It would make sense to focus on their mountaintop experience, because throughout the scriptures, these experiences contain a very special revelation. To be honest, we could also focus on the gospel account of Jesus and how his face shone like the sun and his clothing became white. White as light, as if written on the pages of a sci-fi book. When I was doing my study, I also considered us exploring how this passage alludes to Moses in Exodus 24, where Moses also takes three companions, hears the voice of God, and witnesses God's glory. Commentaries always take a deep dive into how Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, and the identity of Jesus as God's son, as the royal Messiah, as the servant of God is reacclaimed on this mountaintop. As I said, the possibilities are endless. But instead, we are going to linger right here in awe of a God who will comfort you as you tremble in fear, in awe of a God who will boldly speak from heaven. We will linger here this morning and hover over what it means to trust, to be still, and to know that God is God. This is the divine manifestation. Throughout these next minutes and in the days to come, I challenge you to ponder this question. And it's often posed to me as well. Who is Jesus Christ for you today? Who is Jesus Christ for you today? See, the word transfigured is a very interesting word all on its own. The Greek word is metamorpho. It is a verb, it is an action word, where the prefix meta means to change, And the morph means form. It means to take on a physical form or appearance, just like you would witness a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, or maybe even the Transformer Bumblebee turning into a Chevrolet Camaro. Metamorpho also means to change the outside. See, when we change the outside, it's to match what's happening on the inside. In the case of this transfiguration, Jesus changed his outward appearance to match his inward reality. His divine nature was veiled in human form, and the transfiguration was a holy glimpse into that glory. Prior to the disciples heading to the mountaintop and prior to this transfiguration, Jesus began to prepare his disciples for his death and his resurrection. He shared with them the gruesome reality that he will suffer many things, but he also shared the good news that he will be raised on the third day. I have to agree with James Howell when he writes, "This text is no mountaintop experience." And actually, this text is not about us at all. We so often make the biblical text about us. But this morning, there is no moral and there is no takeaway. The text, like so many, is about God. When the passage becomes less about us being like the disciples, less about us following Jesus, less about us remembering our own mountaintop moments, less about us becoming more like God, when it becomes less about us, we can sit in awe. We can sit in awe of a God who shows up and says in the lives of the disciples, proclaiming, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." We can sit in awe. We can sit in awe as our God shows up even in our own lives when we least expect it. Through a song or a prayer, a memory, an invitation for a meal to build new relationships, a smile, or even a hug. We can sit and know that God is in every single pair of these shoes and will walk with those young people who stand in them. God, even in this moment, is inviting us to pray over these tiny feet that are figuratively walking around this altar. This is the divine manifestation, and it stands alone and it is set apart. See, this transfiguration is unusual. It only happened once, and it does not fit the pattern of Jesus's human experience. See, Jesus lived as a mortal being with the same boundaries and same limitations that govern all human life. So this morning is not a "what would Jesus do" moment. This divine manifestation is not about us. Let us sit in awe of our God. Saints, it seems as if this moment, as if the glory of heaven is revealed in and through our own joy and grief, revealed in and through our own confusion and frustration, and that through the body of Jesus, we have a glimpse into the mystery and the glory and the wonder and the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the awe that can only come from and be for our God. These are the divine moments where we sit and we count our blessings. Remember the goodness of the Lord. We'll bring those words of comfort that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, who is Jesus Christ for you today? You know, Peter and John both remember this experience in their own relationship with Christ. Peter has a more detailed account where he recalls the event in 2 Peter chapter 1. He writes, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Peter continues to write, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Church, this is a remarkable event, a divine manifestation that is truly all about God. And to be honest, it is difficult to wrap this sermon up in a nice little neat package for you to place in your pocket. This divine manifestation is all about God granting us a glimpse into what it means to have the confidence to walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe this divine manifestation, coupled with our faith, married to our belief, crowned in mystery, without the theological and Christological doctrine, will just transfigure our hearts to see and experience Jesus as we have never seen nor experienced him before. Or maybe, as we commit to worship and praise God, we too will shine simply because we have been in the presence of the Lord. It is all about God. You know, as we grow in faith together, you will often hear me say this. The scriptures speak for themselves. It is the translation of the scriptures that we struggle with in so many ways. As followers of Christ, we may not agree theologically. People in the same household may not agree theologically. People in the same pews, serving together, growing in faith together, connecting their friends and family to what it means to follow God, may not agree theologically. Sometimes we can't even agree with what to have for dinner. So it shouldn't surprise us when there is a conflict and disagreement within the body of Christ. But see, this divine manifestation, this appearance of the glory of God, is where we as the present day church is called to journey and discover the teaching of Jesus Christ. This divine manifestation is about what it brings to bring the kingdom of God here on earth and the salvation history to those who need it. It is about that love that knows no boundaries. I hope, as the body of Christ, we can agree on at least one thing, that God is God, calling us to trust in the midst of chaos. I pray, as followers of Christ, just like the disciples, we experience Jesus. We experience God like we have never experienced him before. This divine mystery where Jesus is God revealing himself reminds us that as we journey through the hours, the days, and the weeks of Lent, that Christ is for us. This transitional period, moving us into Ash Wednesday, this divine manifestation, this mystery that we so desperately try to solve, just like the parrot, is a journey that is not about us, but it is all about God. It is about a God who is worthy to be worshiped. It is about a God who is worthy to be praised. It is about a God who alone remains center stage through this divine manifestation. So let us sit in awe of a God who, if we listen, will speak to us. If we open our eyes, will reveal himself to us. Not once, not twice, not even three times, but over and over and over and over again. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.